All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Welcome to Maseches Baba Kama. Very, very, very exciting Haskalah, very exciting new beginning in Eretz Hashem as we begin Seder Nezikin and really begin to transition into a very different type of Gemara, very different type of Sugya than what we've been accustomed to in Nashim, and in Kiddushin, and specifically in Nashim. So let's begin. Arba Avos Nezikin. So the Mishnah begins by teaching me that there are four primary categories of damages. And they are, and we'll say now, obviously we're going to spend most of the Gemara going ahead and speaking about, we're going to be explaining each of these particular categories. But at least we begin with a statement of the four primary categories, and they are Arba Avos Nezikin. Four primary categories of Nezikin. Hashar, an ox. Habor, so we'll say these are all different damaging forces. Sashar, an ox. Bar is a pit. Mavet. Now what's Mavet? Sarashi says over here already, Mavet mefarish b'gimara. So we'll see for reasons later on, it's a very simple reason. There's a big machlokes as to what exactly Mavet is. Machlokes rav in Shmuel. So we'll see that in tomorrow's daf. But number three is Mavet v'hever. Hever, Rashi says, is kiseitze eish, is fire. So in other words, what the Gemara is telling me is that there are four primary categories, or four primary items that cause halachic damage. Ox, which of course we'll say, doesn't just mean ox. Ox refers to what? A person's animal. So my animal causes damage. Bar means my property, because a bar is a pit. My property causes damage. Mave, to be defined. And hever, my fire causes damage. So these are the four primary categories that cause damage. So it says the Mishnah, Lo hari hashar ke hari hamave. So on one hand, the shar, the ox, is not like mave. And the mave is not like shar. Now we're reading this without fully knowing exactly what mave means, but we'll go with it for now. So the mave is not like the shar. The shar is not like the mave. So here's what we do know. What we do know is that the common denominator between shar and mave is that they both deal with living things. So shar and bar, which ultimately again have ruach chaim, are alive. They're not like ish she'ein bo ruach chaim. That ish, fire, ultimately is inanimate and does not have life attached to it. Furthermore, both shar and whatever mave is are not like bar. How so? Because both shar and bar, shar and mave, have the ability to cause damage while moving. As opposed to bar, she'ein darko leilech ulahazik. Rabbi say, how does bar damage? Bar damage is ultimately in a stationary fashion. Hatzada shavashem. So Rabbi says, now we establish the following. So as much as the Mishnah groups these four categories of damaging, or sources of damage together, shar, bar, mave, hever, one's animal, one's pit, mave to be defined, hever, one's fire together, the Mishnah is just pointing out they're not all the same. The most simple distinction is essentially you could put the four into two different categories. There are things that are alive and what we'll call our sources of movable damage or movable sources of damage versus stationary forms of damage. So we'll see, we don't know exactly what mave is yet, so we don't know exactly where to put it, except the Mishnah puts it in movable damage, and yet, unlike a pit, which is stationary. Fine, but what's the tzad hashava? What's ultimately the common denominator among all of these things? Tzad hashava shebahen, shadarkon lahazik, ushmiras cha'alechas. We'll say, so the common denominator between all of these things is, number one, that they all have the capacity to damage, ushmirasa alecha, and you are responsible for them. I am responsible for my shar, bar, mave, hever, v'kishehezek, and ultimately when these items that belong to me do damage, chav hamazik l'shalem tashlumei nezek. Ultimately, the mazik, the damager, is obligated to go ahead and pay for damages. So Rabbi says, so come down there among all of these things is A, they have the capacity to damage, B, if they're mine, I have the responsibility to pay for damages, and C, if I decide to go ahead and pay for damages using real estate, the meitav haaretz, I must pay with the best of my real estate. So we'll say this is a very important yisod. So now we're going to get into this, obviously. There's going to be much discussion about this, about how you pay for damages in general. We'll discuss that. But look at Rashi for just a moment. The Meitav Haaretz, Rashi says, So if I choose that I want to pay back damages from land, from real estate, so we're going to discuss that, because Yibo said, we'll discuss the interesting idea when paying back with damages is in general, this is not our topic, but I'm just giving you coming attractions, is how much discretion does the damaging party have to decide the manner of payment for damages? So I damage Reuven, I owe him the money. What level of discretion do I have about how I pay him back? In other words, do I have to give him cash, or do I have the right to give him land? Of course, once you understand, if I give someone land, that potentially puts the damaged party at a disadvantage. Why? Because now he has to go ahead and sell it. The real estate market fluctuates, so who knows with what he gets now is going to be worth the same thing that he's going to get later on. So the mice, again, there are all these variables, but the Mishnah seems to say over here that as a damager, I have the right to pay damages using land, with the caveat that it must be b'meitav ha'aretz. It must be, if I'm going to pay, I have to pay with the best of my land, what the Gemara calls idis, highest quality land. Fine. So again, this is an exceptionally exciting Mishnah. I know we're not in our same space, so it's hard to get into it the same way. But this mamish, like, this is a yesodistic idea. Arba avos nazikin, shar ax, bar pit, mavet to be defined, and hever fire. Good. Says the Gemara. Now, I'll say that this is a really exciting sugya. Midikani avos mechlal diikotoldos. See, here's what's interesting. Remember, we already know this. We'll say something quite beautiful, that after, you know, we've been through Seder Moed, and we've been through Seder Nashim, so we begin to recognize certain things. So whenever you see a Mishnah begin with saying avos, that means primary categories. Wherever there are avos, there are almost always toldos. There are almost always subcategories. So the shayla now becomes, the Gemara says, "Midiktani avos mechlal diketoldos." From the fact that the Mishnah said that there are avos, there must be toldos, there must be subcategories as well. To which the Gemara asks, "So toldos sehen ki yotze bohen o lav ki yotze ben." So basically, here's the fundamental shayla: Are the toldos of what we'll call the arba avos nezikin? Are the subcategories of the primary categories of nezek, of damage, are they like the avos or different than the avos? So we'll say what the Gemara is really asking over here, we're going to see, is in terms of liability. So what's the nature of the tolda? Is the tolda on the same level as the av in terms of liability, or is it on a diminished level than the av in terms of liability? So says the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. Now we'll say, you understand, the Gemara is asking this question before we even know what? Before we even know what the toldos are. So we'll get down on the base. We don't even know yet what they are, but all we know is that the Mishnah is going to say there are arba avos, there are four primary categories, that tells me that there are subcategories as well. So which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, kiyotzi ban ala kiyotzi ban. Are the toldos of the arba avos nezikin, are the toldos like the avos or not like the avos? So let's analyze this. Gabi Shabbos Tinan. So we'll say when it came to Shabbos, we learned Avos Melachos Arbam Chasrachos. So we learned that there are 39 Melachos. There are 40 Avos Melachos less one. 39 primary categories of forbidden labor on Shabbos. Mechlal di ikotoldos. So remember, we said in Masechet Shabbos that the fact that it says that there are 39 avos teaches us that what? That there are also toldos, there are also subcategories. And in Gemara Shabbos, we asked toldos en kiyotzei bahen. So we learned over there that in Shabbos, the tolda is just like the av. Just like the av. So the secondary categories are just like the primary categories. So toldos ain't kiyotze bohen. So we'll say, so what does that mean practically? Practically, what does that mean that the toldos is like an av? Lo shna av chatos, velo shna tolda chatos. Just like Rabbi say, if I go ahead and I violate an av malacha, Rashi says over here, chatos, b'shogeg. I will say, if I accidentally kindle a fire on Shabbos, so we'll say that is an av malacha. That's an av malacha. So what happens if you accidentally kindle a fire on Shabbos? You have to bring a carbon chatos. So we'll say, so too, if I go ahead and I do a subcategory, I turn on a light on Shabbos, which would be a tolda of havara, tolda of kindling. If I did that by accident, I would also be chayav of a carbon chatos. So avos and toldos are the same in terms of liability. If I do them both accidentally, I'm chayav chatos for both. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Lo shna av skila, Veloshna told us skilo. Similarly, if I go ahead and what? If I do it av malacha intentionally, the penalty for intentional commission or intentional violation of one of the malachos on Shabbos is skila. So if I intentionally violate the tolda, the liability is the same, skila as well. So if that's the case, so it sounds like by Shabbos, avos and toldos are the same thing. So nafkamina, so what is nafkamina between being an av and being a tolda? The ilu avad shtei avos bahadi hadadi. Let's say, listen to this. Yeah, here's an afkamina. Let's say you did two avos malachos at the same time. As well say, what's the case over here? Let's say I went ahead and I lit a fire. What's a good example of? I cut down a tree and I built it and I built a house with it at the same time, right? So that I'm doing two avos malachos of kotzer and bona, for argument's sake. So if you do two avos malachos, Rabosai, I'm chayiv twice. I'm chayiv for each av malacha. Inami shtei toldos padi adadi. So to say, if I do two toldos, meaning that means is if I do two different toldos, meaning two toldos associated with two different avos malachos, but I do them at the same time, the halacha is mechayiv akol chada v'chada. So both sides. So the halacha is if you do two avos malachos, two separate avos malachos, or you go ahead and what? Do two separate avos, toldos, then the halacha is what? You chayiv twice, one for each time. Ve'ilu avad, get ready for this. Ve'ilu avad av v'tolda didei lo mechayiv elachada. Well, say, interestingly enough, if you did the same av and tolda, meaning let's say you did two malachos, but they're in the same category. One's the av, one's the tolda. The halacha is what? You're only chayiv once. So we'll say, let's follow the train of thought over here. So let's keep our eye on the ball. So remember, what's our question? Our question is, the Mishnah told us that there are arba avos nezikin, which tells us that there must be what? Toldos. Our shayla is toldos ein kiyotzei bahen or lav kiyotzei bahen. Are the toldos on the same in the same level, on the same category, or same level we'll call it, as the avos or not? So the Gemara says, well, let's not reinvent the wheel. We've spoken about this before. Let's see what happens in other cases of avos. Says the Gemara, okay, Mesechah Shabbos, 39 avos malachos, which tells us that there are toldos. And there the Gemara said that avos and toldos are on the same level, which means the same way if you unintentionally violate an av, you chayiv achatos, same applies to a tolda. You intentionally violate an av, skila, same thing for a tolda. So what's the nafkamina between an av and a tolda? Oh, here's the difference. The difference is that if you violate two avos, you chayiv twice. Two toldos, chayiv twice. But the same av and tolda, meaning an av and tolda from the same category of malacha, you're only chayiv once. That's the nafkamina of being a tolda. If you do the tolda and the av at the same malacha at the same time, you only chayiv once. Ulu Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say second wide line on Beis Medalef. Ulu Rabbi Eliezer, din mechayiv atoldu makom av, amai karle av, vamai karle tolda. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with this, and Rabbi Eliezer happens to hold that if you commit a tolda, if you commit the same tolda and av, right, and tolda and av of the same malacha, and you commit them together, Rabbi Eliezer says that you are chayiv twice. If indeed you are chayiv twice, then lemaisa again, amai karli av, amai karli tolda. So both sides, remember, this was all very nice that we distinguish between avos and toldos, because we were suggesting that there is distinct liability. In other words, that this if you do different ones, but if you do the same av and tolda together, you'll only be chayiv once. But according to the Mandom Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you are going to be chayiv even for the same av and tolda committed together, so why is there a distinction between avos and toldos by Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. The Gemara says, Hach dehava b'mishkan chashiva karele av. Hach delo havi b'mishkan chashiva karele tolda. So we'll say the Gemara gives a very interesting answer, to which the Gemara says, you're right. In reality, it's simply just a categorical designation. These are designations that don't really necessarily have as much halachic importance as they do simply what we'll call designation importance. In other words, what's an av? An av is a malacha that is found explicitly in the Torah. So you understand, remember, where do the avos malachos come from? The avos malachos come from the Mishkan. So whatever was done in the creation or fabrication of the Mishkan ultimately, again, becomes one of the avos malachos. We learn this from the juxtaposition of the section of Shabbos to the section of the Mishkan. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer and those who hold that you are chayiv ultimately for committing the same av and toldo in the same category. The reason why we distinguish between avos and toldos is simply to tell us which malachos are mentioned in the Torah and which malachos are not mentioned in the Torah. That's the distinction. But from a halachic perspective, suggests the Gemara, there's no real distinction between the two categories. Fine. So it says the Gemara. So remember, we're still trying to figure out our question. So by Shabbos we know that it's a machlokis, but it seems to be that by Shabbos we say that toldo sein ki yotzei bohen, that the toldo and the av are pretty much on the same level. Pretty much on the same level. Fine. But now we have another example, the Gemara says. Gabe tumos. What about the losa by tuma? Right, by ritual impurities. So what's that locha? Tnan, avos atumos. So we learned that again, by tuma it says that the avos atumos, the primary categories of tuma are the following. Hasheretz. Sheretz is a creepy crawly thing. Shichvas zera is semen. Amadeis. Tame mace. Well, it's an interesting over here. If you notice, by the way, it doesn't say mace, it says tame mace. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Tav Rashi beis on the days. Mishanaga b'mace, havi avatuma. If somebody touches a corpse, that person themselves becomes an avatuma, becomes not the highest, but one of the highest levels of tuma. The mace atzmo, havi avos atuma. Because the mace, a corpse itself, is considered to be like the mothership of tumas, the avi avos atuma, the father of all tumas. Havi avatuma. And I will say, interestingly enough, if you touch a corpse, you become an av hatuma yourself. Umitame adam v'kelim, and a person who is an av hatuma has the ability to transmit his tuma to other people and to utensil, and to utensils to kelim. V'hak ksiv kol asher yigabo hatame yitma. V'hai kra b'tame mis ksiv. Fine. So let's go back for just a moment. So it says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, that when it comes to Tuma, so Avos HaTumos, the primary categories of Tuma are Sheretz, a creepy crawly thing, Shichva Zera Simen, and Tomei Mace, and someone who touched the corpse, who himself is an Ava Tuma. So let's talk about Todo Sehen, Lav Kiyot Seba. So we'll say here, the Mishnah explicitly says that, the Rice explicitly says that what? Their toldos, the tolda of these avos atoma, are not like the avos. De'ilu, watch this. Says the Gemara, de'ilu av, metame adam ekelu. Because we're saying avatoma, an avatoma has the ability to transmit toma to adam and kelim, to ultimately to a person and utensil. So for example, just see how this plays out. Somebody touches a corpse. Corpse is avi avos hatuma. I touch a corpse, I am an avatuma. As an avatuma, I have the ability to transmit tuma to other people and to utensils. The ilu toldos, yet Rabbos say toldos of that tuma. Toldos of that tuma. So for example, Rabbos say, when I go ahead, without getting into all the laws of tuma, but essentially when I touch someone else, that person becomes a Rishon. So a Rishon, that Tolda is going to have limited abilities to transmit Tumah any further. So yet, interesting, we see the Ilu Toldos, Ochlin Umashkin Metame, Adam V'Kelim Lo Metame. So ultimately, again, when the Avatuma touches someone and he becomes a Tolda, he becomes a secondary level of Tumah, he can't transmit Tumah to people and utensils. The only thing he can transmit tuma to is what? Food and drink. Which tells us what Rabbi said, that when it comes to tuma, toldosehen lav kiyotse bohen, that the secondary levels are not like the primary levels. So what's it? Therefore asks the Gemara, hachamai. So what's it? So now you understand, the reason why this is very dramatically exciting is because what you see now, why'd you laugh? Right? What you see now over here are two different models. So we have two different av tolda constructs. We have Shabbos, where we establish that the toldos are like the avos. Avos and toldos are the same. We have tuma, where avos and toldos are not the same. Now our shaila is what? We have arba avos nezikin. We have avos and toldos by nezikin. The shaila is going to be, so which construct does nezek fit into? Is nezek like Shabbos, where the toldos are like the avos? Or is nezek like tuma, where the toldos are not like the avos? To which Rav Papa gives a very interesting answer. Amar Rav Papa. Yesh. Good. So if you look at Rashi, just for a moment, Rashi says, Hachamai, toldos to Shabbos havikavos, toldos to tumah havikavos, vahacha, toldos to nezikin mai, mi aminan toldos kiyotzeban, aloshna, loshna av, loshna tolda, im hezik, mishalim, odil malo. Fine. So Amar Rav Papa, yesh mehen kiyotzebahen, the yesh mehen lav kiyotzebahen. To which Rav Papa says something very interesting. He seems to say, when it comes to Nezek, certain avos are like their toldos, or certain toldos are like the avos, and certain toldos are not like the avos. So what Rav Papa seems to be saying is like this. See, up until now, we've been assuming that it's either toldos are like the avos, or toldos are not like the avos. Rav Papa suggests maybe there's another approach. And the other approach is, there are arba avos nezik, and there are four primary categories of damages. In some of those categories, the toldos are like the avos, and in some of those categories, the toldos are not like the avos. So we're going to discuss what this means. So Tan Rabbanan. We'll say now, in order to fully understand what Rav Papa is saying, we have to go back a little bit. Gimel avos ne'emru bishar. Hakeren hashen v'aregel. So we'll say, so when it comes ultimately again to shar, so remember, shar itself, shar, remember, represents the damage done by my animal. In terms of the damage done by my animal, we'll say there are three categories. So shar is the name of the av, but within shar, there are three primary subcategories of shar. What are the three primary subcategories? Hakeren. Keren means the horn. Rashi says over here, keren, lingoach. The idea, this refers to damage done by an animal when it gores. Hashem, Rashi says, shein le'echol. This refers to damage done by an animal when it eats through eating. And lastly, haregel, the foot. Rashi says, drisa lishbor esakelim. This refers to damage done by an animal just through walking, through regular just walking around. So these are the three primary categories of, again, the head category is shar, damage done by the animal. The subcategories, keren, goring, shein, eating, regel, trampling, walking. So let's see, just to understand, what each of those things represents the following. Keren represents aggressive animal behavior, meaning intent to damage. Shein represents just damage that an animal does just while eating. There's no intention to damage on the part of the animal. The animal is just carrying out its regular activities of daily living. And regel is the same type of thing. Regel is just b'derech hiluchol. The animal is walking around and just happens to damage in the course of walking around. So says the Gemara, we're going to analyze each of these. Keren minalon. From where do we know that if an animal gores with its horns, that this is considered to be one of the categories of damages? To which the Gemara says, to Tan Rabbanan, ki yigach. When the pasuk says ki yigach, the pasuk is ki yigach shor es ish o es isha vames. If an ox goes ahead and gores a person and they dies, so the Gemara says, "Ein negicha ela bekeren." So we know that negicha, goring, is something that is done with the horn of the animal. Shene emar. So we'll say, so where do we know that negicha? Where do we know that goring is done with the horn of the animal? Shene emar. Vayas lo tzidkia ben kinano karne barzel. Vayomer ko amar Hashem be'ela tinagachasan. So we'll say, we just learned this. That's how long ago. In the Shabbos afternoon, Navi Shir. So remember again, this is in Malachim Aleph. Remember, Yi'achov is trying to get Yehoshaphat to go out to war with him against Aram. Aram is massing forces. The two split kingdoms, neither of them can handle Aram on their own. So Achav says to Yehoshaphat, let's go to war together. Yehoshaphat says, fine, but I just want to go ahead and consult the Navi. Before we go out, I'd like to try to not make any dramatic moves without the input of the Navi. Let me get the Navi on board, and we'll go ahead and go together. So what happens? Achav says, oh, you want the Navi? We've got plenty of Naviim. And remember again, he had plenty of Naviim. Navi HaBaal, Navi HaShera. So he brings in one of these Naviim, a man by the name of Tzidkia ben Kinana. And Tzidkia ben Kinana comes along, and he fashions iron horns, and he says to Yehoshaphat, don't worry, with these horns, you're going to go ahead and gore Aram. So both say, see over here, that's what? You see over here, the Lashon of Tinagach, bless you, by Karnei Barzel. So you see the Lashon of Tinagach, of bless you, of gore, bless you. See the Lashon of goring over here, by horns. So you see over here this idea, that Kiyigach ultimately means horns. Keren, Va'omer. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, Bechor Shoro Hadarlo, the Karne Re'im Karnov. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, Bechor Shor Adar Lo, literally, in this case, Bechor doesn't mean as much firstborn as it means a king, right? A king like an ox, Hadar Lo, beauty is his, Karne Re'im Karnov, and literally, like the horns of the Re'im, which is a type of animal, are like his horns. Bahem Amim Yinagach. Through these horns, he will gore nations. So we'll say, you see a second Pasuk that ultimately teaches us what? That, remember, what we're trying to figure out is, the Torah tells us, Ki Yigach Shor. So we don't, at first glance when we see yigach, we don't know what that word means. What the Gemara says, oh, now I see what yigach means. Because from the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, when Tzidkia ben Kenana made the horns, he said to Yehoshaphat, with these horns, Tinagach, you will gore. So we see that goring is something that is done with horns. Similarly, when we see the Pasuk in Devarim, in Vizos Abracha, Becharshara Adarlo, that ultimately, again, this is speaking to Yosef, ultimately it says that Karnav Bahami Nagach, again, you see a mention of horns and goring. So the Gemara says, Maiva Omer, by the way, why does the Gemara say, after the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Malachim, then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Devarim and says, Va'omer, and furthermore it says. So why do you need it to say, and furthermore it says, V'chi Tema, Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah lo yafinon. So maybe you'll see like this. Remember, the Pasuk says, Ki yigach shor esre eyus. The Pasuk says that if the shor will be nagach, if the shor will be goneach, it'll yigach. And we try to figure out what does yigach mean, and we quote a Pasuk from Malachim Aleph, that yigach means to gore. So maybe you'll say, one second, you can't learn out halachas from Navi, right? That's not where we learn out halacha from. So you're trying to figure out, how do I know that keren, that goring, is one of the forms of damage perpetrated by a shor? So you can't learn that out from a pasuk in Navi. To which the Gemara says, fine, don't get nervous. We have a pasuk from Chumash as well. Tashma bechor shara hadar lo. To which the Gemara says, but that can't be true. V'hamelavu, I'm not learning anything out from Navi. Gilui milsa ba'almuhu. Vosi, in reality, when the Gemara brings this pasuk from Navi, am I learning something out? Am I learning something out? This is what's called the Gilui Milsa. Vosi, what's a Gilui Milsa? Gilui Milsa means I'm just simply shedding light on something. In other words, I understand the Torah is talking about the particular damage that an ox is doing. The only problem is that the word ki'igach, I'm not immediately clear what that means. So all I need is to find another context in which the word yigach is used to just give me a definition. I'm not looking for a limud, I'm just looking for a context for definition. Oh, so I open my Navi to Malachim Aleph, and I see the conversation between Sidkia ben Kenana and Achav and Yehoshaphat. And Sidkia says, take these horns, and with these horns you will gore Aram. Ah, now I understand that goring is done how? When the Torah says ki yigach, yigach refers to keren. Yigach refers to the horn of the animal. And from here I see that the Torah in this pasuk is referring to damage done by the goring of horns. So I'm not learning anything out from the Navi. It's what's called the Gilui Milsa. I'm simply shedding light on something. So the Gemara says, Ah, Gilui Milsa ba'amhu, t'negicha b'karenhu. All I'm using the pasuk from Navi is a Gilui Milsa, is I'm shedding light on the fact that ultimately goring is done with a horn. Elamau d'teima. Rather, what would I have said? Ki poligrach mona bein tam lemuad, hani midi b'telusha. This is interesting. I might have thought that perhaps the following, that when does the Torah make a distinction between a tam and a muad? Now, we'll discuss this in great depth. So the Gemara, we're going to see later on, that there's a distinction between what we'll call a habitual gore versus a first-time gore. That when an animal gores for the first three times, the halacha is you only have to pay chatzi nezek, you only have to pay half damages. Once an animal has gored three times, it has the designation as a habitual offender. As a habitual offender, it must pay nezek shalim. It must pay complete damages. So says the Gemara, I might have thought that the only time that an animal, that we make a distinction between a tam and a muad, is when bitelusha. If the animal damages with a detached horn. We'll say, now where do we get this? That the animal damages with a detached horn? Because remember, the pasuk in Malachim is talking about what? A detached horn. So maybe the only time that we make a distinction between tam and muad is if the animal picks up a horn in its mouth that's a detached horn and damages like that. That's when we make a distinction between tam and muad. Aba b'mechuberes. But if the animal damages with its own horn that's attached to its head, ema kula muadesi, I might have thought that's what? That lamaisa, that's always called a muad. It's always called a muad. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, ela, lahachi yitzterich v'omer demau detema, ki chalak rachmana bein tam ala mu'edes. When does the Torah make a distinction between the tam and the mu'ad? So that's the b'short tam ksiv v'chatzu es kaspo, v'l'mashalim v'l'chatzi nezek, because it will say for a tam, which means an ox that is not yet a habitual offender, you only have to pay half damages. You have more ksiv, shalim yishalim, shor tachas ashor, v'shalim yishalim, but yet by a mu'ad, three-time habitual offender, you have to pay nezek shalim, full damages. Hanimili b'karen tzlusha, dumya dekarni tzidka ben kenana. I might have thought, so we'll see, if we're just looking at the pasuk from Malachim, I would have thought that's only true when the animal damages with a detached horn, because that's the case. That's the case in Malachim Aleph. It's a detached horn. Okay, go and sha'achza behema karen mishinah. Like the animal picks up a different horn between its teeth, benagcha, and gores someone with that horn. The hasam vaday lo mishalim tam kulei nezek mishum de'in darka b'kach. Because on both sides, that would be a case of abnormal damages, and therefore the mice only have to pay half nezek. But the Havamina is that if an animal would go ahead and damage with its attached horns, then what? Even the first time, it should have to pay complete damages. Therefore, what does the Gemara do? Tashma b'char shara hadar lo. Therefore, what? The Torah comes along and brings the second pasuk from Devarim to teach me that what? No, normative negicha, normative goring, is also when the animal gores with its the horns on its head, and therefore, again, when the animal does that for the first three times, it's also still called a tam, still called a non-habitual offender, only pays half nezek, but when it goes ahead and gores it for the fourth time, ultimately, again, it pays nezek shalom. We'll discuss if it's two or three. Fine. So now what we've done over here is we've discussed the idea of keren. Fine. We've discussed the idea, ultimately, of goring with a horn. So asks the Gemara, told of the Karen Mai. So just as Shavuos says, so now remember, as I mentioned before, the Av is called Shor. What the Gemara is introducing us to now is, but Shor, that Av really is split off into three primary Av categories. The first of those Av categories is what we call Karen. Karen, which is damage done by goring. Okay, that's the Av. So asks the Gemara, told of the Karen Mai. So what is the Tolda? What is the Tolda of Karen? To which the Gemara says, Mahi, Negifa, Neshicha, Rebitza, Ubi'ita. To which the Gemara says, the Tolda ultimately of cannibals will be, Negifa means pushing. If the animal does damage by pushing another animal, by pushing a person, Neshicha is biting. Rebitza means squatting. The animal sits on top of something. Ubi'ita, and kicking. These are considered to be the toldos. These are the secondary categories of shor. Remember again, the primary category, I want to, just to be clear, because it's a little bit, I hope it's clear, that as keren is the av as well. It's just that the av of shor is split into three sub-avos categories. The first of those avos categories is keren. The toldos of keren are, again, pushing the gifa, biting the shicha, squatting revitza, and bi'ita kicking. Says the Gemara, Maishna Negicha, the Karele Av. So let's analyze this. Why is it that goring is ultimately called an Av? Why is that called an Av Hezek? Simply because the Chsev Kiyigach. Because the reason why Negicha is an Av, meaning why, the Gemara is asking, why is biting the Av and yet pushing is not, or squatting or sitting is not? To which the Gemara says, oh, very simply because the Torah seeks that goring. The Torah says, Kiyigach. So the Gemara says, Negifa namiksev, but 1 second, pushing is also mentioned in the Torah. After all, the pasuk says, Ki yigof. So we'll say the pasuk says, Ki yigof shor ish es shore ehu. If a person shor ki yigof, his friend shor. To which the Gemara says, so that seems to be pushing. If that's the case, then Lamaisa, again, Negifa should not be a tolda, but it should be an av as well. To which the Gemara answers, Hai negifa, negichahi. And we'll say, this negifa, this pushing, is actually biting. Is actually negicha. The Gemara says, "Desanya pasach benegifa v'siyem benegicha." The pasach opened up using the word ki yigof and ended up using the word negicha. Lomar lacha to teach me zohi negifa zohi negicha. Ultimately, again, that Bravo say negifa and negicha from the Torah perspective are both the same thing. In other words, that lamaisa again. In the biblical context, negifa also means biting. Also means goring. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, maishna gabe adam dechsiv kiyigach, umaishna gabe behema dechsiv kiyigach. So we'll say, now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So what you're telling me now is that from a biblical perspective, yigach and yigof mean the same thing. What do they mean? Goring. So why does the Torah use one word for goring of a person, and a different word for goring of an animal? In other words, we'll see, you hear this? So really, in other words, that why yigach by people and yigof by animal, if they both mean goring, why not use the same word by both? To which the Gemara says something amazing. To which the Gemara answers, Adam di isle mazlo ksiv ki yigach. So I'll say, a person who has mazl, the Torah uses lashon of ki yigach, Behema delesli mazlo ksiv kiigov. But by an animal which doesn't have mazl, so the Torah used the lashon of kiigov. So we'll say, so what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi just a moment. It's Rashi on the last of the short lines. Rashi says, actually, I'm sorry, the first wide line. Adam de isle mazlo, sheyesh lo das lishmar es gufo. Person has the ability to watch himself. Ksiv kiigach. Devadai niskavin hashar lahara. Uba alav bekoach. Aval negifa. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that a person has mazel. Person has mazel, which of course in this case means a person has a certain level of siyat tishmai, divine providence. So in order for a shar to go ahead and gore a person, there has to be a more premeditated approach. In other words, lav dafka on the part of the shar, but on the part of the cosmic universe. People don't just get stam gored. It's a purposeful event. Therefore, the Torah uses the lashon of yigach, which indicates to us purposeful activity. As opposed to animals, when one animal gores another avosai, is there some greater cosmic plan at play over there? And the answer is no. Stuff happens in the animal kingdom. Therefore, the Torah uses a more haphazard lashon of yigov. This is very interesting. So when it comes to the goring of a person, the Torah uses a lashon of ki yigach, and according to the Gemara, ki yigach is a more purposeful lashon, saying that if a person gets gored, that's part of his mazel, as opposed to ki yigov, where stuff just happens in the animal kingdom. Animals gore each other, animals push each other, but the mice is nothing purposeful in that. To which the Gemara says, "Umilsav agav morche mashmon." And the Gemara is teaching me, or the Torah is teaching me, just another halacha kind of in passing. The muad la adam havi muad la behema, or muad la behema la havi muad la adam. This is actually very interesting. What does it teach me? It teaches me that if an animal is muad, if an animal has already been established as a habitual offender in terms of damaging people, that makes him a muad for damaging animals as well. But if he's a muad ultimately for damaging animals, that does not automatically what? Make him a muad for damaging people. Fine. So we'll say, so now we've established Karen. So we've now established again, remember this is Shar, we're talking about the subcategory Avos Velachos, or Avos Nezikin, of Shar. So the first one we've done now is Karen, is Goring. Next, Shane. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Neshicha, let me read it differently. Neshicha, told the Shemi. So to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, this is a question. So Neshicha, now remember we said that one of the subcategories, one of the toldos of Karen is biting. To which the Gemara says, well, why is biting a subcategory of Karen? So really, Neshicha, biting should be a subcategory of what? Of Shane. I both say Shane means damage that an animal does eating, right? So biting should be part of that. To which the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, lo, shein yesh hana lezega, ha'in hana lezega. No, but so here's the difference. Shein refers to damage that an animal does in the course of deriving pleasure. So the animal goes in and is eating for its own benefit, is doing something for its own benefit, and causes damage like that. That's shein. Then the shicha that we're talking about, Rabbi Abbasai, is what kind of damage? It's damage done with biting, with an active desire on the part of the animal to damage. Revitzo bi'ita, toldo d'regel. So squatting and kicking, why are those considered to be toldos of Karen? Those should be toldos of regel. Well, so remember again, regel refers to what? Regel refers to any type of damages that an animal does just while walking around. So presumably an animal sits down, right, while walking around, or an animal's just kicking something while walking around. Those should be toldos of shame. Why are they considered to be toldos ultimately of Karen? To which the Gemara says, lo, regel hezeka matzui, hani ein hezeka matzui. Rabbi says, so we'll see that regel refers to damages that is done in the normal course of animal behavior. These are represent damages that an animal goes out of its way to do. So the animal goes out of its way to squat and to sit down on my vessels. Or the animal goes out of its way to go ahead and kick my vessels. Not in its normal course of walking, but it's clear from the animal's behaviors that these are aggressive behaviors. Elo, toldos sehen, lav ki yotze bohen. So therefore again, when we said before that the toldos of these avos malachos are not like the avos. So what is that referring to? Actually, you know, we'll say, no, we're going to do, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick up with, let's just analyze I wanted to share with you a beautiful vart. That's just like a way of opening up Maseches Baba Kama. But again, just so you understand where we're leaving off. We're leaving off still with the fundamental question that we began with. We began today by talking about Arba Avos. There are four primary categories, ultimately, of damages. Our fundamental question was, are the toldos, are the secondary categories like the avos or not? We brought two other examples of avos and toldos. Shabbos, where the avos are like the toldos. Tumah, where the avos are not like the toldos. And our question was, where does Hezek fit into? Rav Papa made a very enigmatic statement, and bless you. And Rav Papa said that some of the avos have toldos that are like them, and some of the avos have toldos that are not like them. We didn't understand that statement, but the Gemara said, okay, let's analyze this. And in order to analyze it, the Gemara now is going through the different avos. Remember, now, so what we left off with over here is, we went through now in a pretty exhaustive way, the av of shar. The av of shar, the first av of shar. Remember, the av of shar has three sub avos, the first of which is Karen, which ultimately is damage done through aggressive behavior. We went through that. Now we're going to pick up tomorrow with trying to understand Rav Papa's statement. When Rav Papa said that certain avos are like their totals, so was he referring to Karen that we just exhaustively went through or not? That will continue tomorrow. Let's just show you something interesting. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something quite beautiful in the opening Mishnah. And I think this is just an important way to frame what we're going to learn. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Sheyeshtem arba midos rashios, shim shorash va'avos l'cholani zokin, shemehem yesho l'hadom l'srachei kimatchali kashas. The Baal Shem Tov says that, you know, we started out the Mishnah by saying that there are four primary categories of damages. There's hashar, habar, habar, ve'vahever. The Baal Shem Tov says that these also represent the four primary categories of damages that damage us in life, that are personally damaging as well. These represent the four major pitfalls in life. So how so? Listen to this beautiful idea. So Hashem Nevel Kaddish says, Hashem, I'm not going to get to do it justice in the limited time that we have, but at least you'll get the point. What's the shar? So the Baal Shem Tov says, Miloshon Re'iya, the stakulus b'mekomos asrum. The shar, the Baal Shem Tov says, comes from the same etymological root as to look. So the shar, the damages of shar, says the Baal Shem Tov, represents looking at inappropriate things. Looking at inappropriate things that unfortunately, again, we're often bombarded with so many different influences. Shar represents the damages we do to ourselves by looking at inappropriate things. What's bar? So it says Baal Shem Tov, Milashon Reikonos v'shomein, Kimos Sadei Bar. Bar represents, ultimately, represents emptiness. So what does this refer to? Lashon Shomin Kimar, Kimo Bar Va'ama Aretz. Now, both said the second area of damage we do to ourselves is we don't learn enough. If I don't have knowledge, I can't be a good Jew. Lo ama aretz chassid. I will say, if I don't know, again, it could be that I could avoid sin, but you can't be a really fully functioning Jew without learning. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me all these mitzvahs. If I'm a bar, if I'm an empty pit, then what am I supposed to do? That's the second area of personal damage. Next, hamave. So Hashem gives it away a little bit. So we'll see mave. Mave, we're going to see, at least according to Shmuel, refers to shame. Refers ultimately to damage done ultimately through the animal eating. Bless you. So he says, what does that mean? Hamave zeh shein sheshakua b'taivas ha'achila. This refers ultimately to people who get too carried away eating. He says, but eating doesn't just mean eating. Eating means people who lose themselves in the typhus and the desires of this world. Vahever, what does fire refer to? Hu esh hakas. This refers ultimately again to the fire of anger. Hare elu dalid avos nezikin sha'al yadam nistalik mimenu ruach chayim shebo. Says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Mishnah is not just teaching us, you know, tort law. The Mishnah is not just teaching us, you know, damages. The Mishnah is also making me aware of the greatest difficulties, challenges I have in life. The challenges are, again, according to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the challenges are shar, ultimately, again, looking at inappropriate things. But I will say, no, it doesn't just mean looking. It means that sometimes when I'm not looking, when I don't have the right finish line in sight, when I don't have the right goals, I don't have the right dreams, when I don't have the right aspirations, that's incredibly damaging in life. Bar, if I'm an empty pit, I'm not filling myself with enough Torah. Ultimately, I'm setting myself up for failure. Mave, which is shame, if I lose myself too much in the joys, in the materialism, in the pleasures of this world, and hever, if I allow myself to be consumed by kas, ultimately I could undermine any positive traction I want to accomplish this world. But let me just tell you one last thing, only because you're twisting my arm. I'll tell you one last thing. The Baal Shem Tov says, but here's what's amazing. He quotes the Zohar, this is going to blow your mind, and he says that the Arba Avos Nezikin also refer to what? Refer to the Avos Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and the fourth is David HaMelech. Swasav shall listen to this. So the Baal Shem Tov says, if at the end of the day, I have a problem with shar, which means not having the right outlook in life. Rabbi, you know who was the king of positive outlook? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu saw the good in every single person. Avram Avinu saw the good in every single situation. Avram, if I'm struggling with proper life outlook, I have to become a little bit better in my life outlook like Avram Avinu. Next, the bar, the emptiness, I have to fill myself up with Rabbosa Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was different than all the other Avos. Why? Avram and Yitzchak, we see them engaging in incredible amounts of external dynamic activity. What did Yitzchak Avinu do? Torah tells us he did two things. What were the two things? Number one was the Akedah. Number two is that he dug wells. What's the pshat? Yitzchak Avinu was the Av who realized that in order to build anything, you have to be personally strong. If I'm not strong, I can't build. Because if I'm not strong, anything I do build is built on a rickety foundation. Yitzchak Avinu is the one who filled in the bar. He filled in the pit. Next, Mava, losing yourself in Olam Hazeh, losing perspective on materialism. What's that? Yaakov Avinu. Remember again, the pasuk says, "Vayivaser Yaakov Levad." Yaakov Avinu was alone the night that he made the Netzar Shesov. Why did Yaakov Avinu go back over the Nar? Rashi says, "Shachach Pachim Kitanin." He forgot small little jugs. Yaakov Avinu understood that. Now, why does he go back? Can you imagine? This is like going back for Tupperware. Right? Can you imagine? You know, you realize you're away with your family. You realize, oh, I forgot the Tupperware. We were away, I forgot the Tupperware. Nobody turns around for Tupperware. Just forget about it. Leave it alone. It's not worth the exertion. But yet, Yaakov Avinu understood that every single little bit of materialism he had was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I have to do something purposeful with it. Yaakov Avinu teaches us, ultimately, how to relate properly to our materialism. And Hever, fire, who does that refer to? We'll say that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech teaches us how to deal with chaos. David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom, and what happens? Remember Shimon ben Gera, who is Shaul's cousin, comes out and begins to curse him and to yell at him, and David's generals are ready to go ahead and strike this guy down. And what does David say? Leave him alone. Leave him alone. That sometimes a person has to realize that to respond up. Now, David does deal with Shimon ben Gera later on, but in that moment, if he would have dealt with him, he would have dealt with him from chaos, he would have dealt with him from anger. Ultimately, the way to deal with difficult situations in life is never to respond from anger. It's to control yourself, it's to calm yourself, and then ultimately to respond in a methodical way. So the Hashem Tov HaKadosh teaches us, and this is the beauty of the Torah Kedosha. You know, we think we're learning about oxen and damages, but here embedded in these beautifully holy words are the very roadmap for life. The Abba Avos Nazikin represent the four struggles, and the Abba Avos Nazikin represent the Avos David HaMelech teaches us how to meet those struggles as well. All right, we'll stop right there.
If you are wanting to go to the Zoom downstairs, please take your Gemaros down to the Zoom. Wow. Okay, Rabbi? Please touch down.